Shalom lachem.
Hello, thank you for being with us in our New Life Educational Series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Rav Lyman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza. Hello. And today we're inviting you to a story of love. We're going to open the magic of the Song of Songs, one of the most important elements in Jewish culture, and we're going to see how it helps us today to develop new relations between us and create a society that's as one family. How to take our part, each of us as individuals and entire society, to a good place with warmth and connection and love. The Song of Songs, there's no greater symbol of love. Be with us. There will be a lot of excitement. Nitza, get us into the Song of Songs. So first of all, it's enough to look at these songs that were written in the verses of the Song of Songs to know how much this book influenced and continues to influence our feelings and our imagination. It just melts your heart. There's many verses that you read them, and you can never tire of reading about this romance and love in the Song of Songs. And the first question is, first of all, who was this written for? Who were these beautiful songs written for? They were written for a person that already feels that his entire life is actually love. That nature is entirely love. And that love thy neighbor as thyself is the general force that controls the world. And where we don't see it, it's only to invite us to complete those same situations in which love is lacking as a result of the lack of our participation. It's talking about a person that's already reached in his development and understanding and awareness that everything is good. That from the beginning, everything is arranged toward the final goal that we need to reach perfection. And perfection, not that I act according to my hormones, which is just love, that we feel that I feel good and that's why I love. I like fish, as it says. I can't love fish. Fish is something that's very disconnected from me. I can only love it when I eat it. You can love animals. I also came from the animal level. But to love something that's disconnected from the living level, that's in a completely different world, it's impossible. I don't have any natural sensations for that. That's why it's called loving fish. If a person understands that what he loves from the beginning in his inclination, and his inclination is evil, that he loves because he feels good from it, he's simply in this landly love, earthly love, natural, and in this love, I'm just destroying the world because I'm bringing what's close to me closer, what I love closer, and what I don't like further away, and I'm not rising above my egoistic desire. And in this manner, I'm destroying the world. Our love from the beginning is not good. I need to rise above it to a completely different kind of love, to connection. And in this love, I must determine with everyone, static and animate, all my natural relations toward them. And therefore, if I, in this manner, direct myself to the world that is entirely love, and I must see myself as loving everyone, this means that I'm participating in the desires of everyone, in the sorrow of everyone, that I want to complete that. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I feel what each person wants, and I attempt to fill them. That's called love. Not in a manner that I want to enjoy from what I see on the outside, and according to that, that's called me loving someone or something, but just the opposite, that I disconnect from this natural love. I rise above it and begin to love everyone because it's the general law, it's the general nature that I must be in contact with everyone. It comes through special education that I begin to recognize that we're all connected, that we're all dependent on one another, and that we all have one destiny and that we manage it. If I relate to nature in this manner, then I begin to discover that the power of love really works on everything. And that's where the Song of Songs starts from. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. It means that I'm in connection with all of nature. And then I begin to verify. So how onward can I develop these connections of love? Here the song from the start raises me up to a very high level. That I already reached in my development the understanding that this is what I need to do. This is what I need to complete in all of creation, that we humans are in all this creation in an opposite manner. A person has an evil inclination from birth, and then when I understand that instead of hatred, instead of taking advantage of all of the public outside of myself, I need to reach connection. I need to complete each thing that is outside me, that it will be good. To make a long story short, how is love expressed? By the fact that I am complimenting everyone else. It's other words, love is very confusing. I want everyone to feel good. That's an expression of love. Like we are concerned for kids, how can I add more to fill him, to keep him safe, to put him in a good mood? That's an expression of love. Not that I'm enjoying him like we usually see in our lives, but I'm enjoying that he feels good. And when I'm directed toward that, this is how the story begins, actually. Now, why, actually, King Solomon, who he wrote the Song of Songs, he's the wisest of all. It was written out of wisdom from knowing the general nature, and only in this manner that I research, understand, feel, truly, not just, it's not a person that just works according to his urges, but I raise myself to the general level, the high level, truly the correct human level. From there, I begin the song. Why does he choose to use in his story? He really describes it like a romance between a man and a woman. It's like this wild love story between them, between a couple. That's how he describes that love. We don't have other words. We can only use this language to describe my good attitude to someone else. What other words can I have? If I want to bestow to someone, I want to connect to them, I want to hug them, to kiss them, to fill them. I'm yearning how to be closer, how I can always add and complete them and cause the other good. That's what love is called. The word love is general. And being concerned of my fellow man and its expression. So the love he's describing here is between a person and who? And everyone, between people, between everyone, between all of reality that I feel outside myself. that first of all, I used to look at all of reality in my eyes, how I can swallow everything. And now I'm putting my glasses on and I have a new attitude and I'm looking how I complete everything, how I reach a situation where everyone will feel good for me, that everyone will feel pleasure, that I am adding good to their lives. That's called loving. And then truly we reach to never-ending opportunities in our lives to do good. And if I receive pleasure from it, if I am enjoying the fact that others are good, that I'm making others happy, then my entire life is full of opportunities. And that's what a person needs to ask in his life. What's the point of life? Who am I getting pleasure from, or who I can give pleasure to? That's actually the question. That if a person asks in that manner, he is already beginning to advance and flow at the level, at the human level, a person who wants to make himself similar to the general nature called God. There is a verse that describes his left hand is like this, his left hand is under my head, and that in these two forces that we have, you can't do it with one force. There's the negative force and the positive force. That in the negative forces, I feel the deficiencies in myself and others, and how to take advantage of my fellow man. And against that, I need to reach the place of fulfilling nature. Fulfilling my fellow man. When I look at them with my negative force and I complete them with my positive force, and then precisely through these two arms, I hug, I embrace, and I can bestow. If I didn't have the evil inclination, I wouldn't feel my fellow man at all. Animals, inanimate, vegetative, animate, they don't feel their fellow man. I feel that I'm good. I need to prey on him to eat. And whether it's good or bad, I have no feeling whether it's good or bad for him. The evil inclination allows us to feel toward our fellow man how I can cause him bad, less than me, that I'll control him more, that I'll be smarter, more secure, richer, more. In something, I feel myself satisfied that everyone is beneath me. But through this special characteristic that we have in us, the feeling in humanity toward bad, I can correct it and use it in the opposite manner. The fact that I feel my fellow man, it can bring me precisely to other attributes, to using this bad in the correct manner. This is called his left arm is under my head, that I'm holding the public, that I want to research it, that I want to understand it, that I want to learn what they're missing in relation to an embracement. Still, I'm using my bad in order to learn what they're missing. And then with my right hand, I can embrace them. It really reminded me of the movement, like a mother holding a baby. On the one hand, she's holding him with her head, and on the other hand, she's nurturing him. This is how two people embrace also. I didn't really understand the embrace. I understood that he wants to embrace him, but I don't understand that I'm using my bad to learn him, what he's missing. If I want to learn what she's missing, to complete what she's missing, then I want to verify what she's missing. My left arm under her head, why is that bad? That's also good. But you're using your desire, your attributes that from the beginning or in you to do bad to your fellow man. This I don't understand. Therefore, there's also evil inclination. You can't get to love without that. As it's written, all transgressions will be covered with love. I discover my attitude, and inside my attitude, my feeling for my fellow man, that from day one is there, so that I'll feel my fellow man, to take advantage of him. And through this, I feel him. And I only feel him in this range. What can I do to fill myself through him? And then through this, I begin to feel how I can take advantage of myself to fill him. Let's say with kids. Kids don't understand, small children. They don't understand what bad and good is to your fellow man. There's such animals that he comes to you, he takes something, he does something. He's not capable of taking anyone into consideration, a small child. You can cry, he'll look at you, what are you crying? He doesn't even feel what crying is. When he's crying, he does, but when somebody else cries, he doesn't understand what it is that somebody's crying. Why is that? He's still not, the evil inclination isn't developed in him. Later on, when he wants to take advantage of others, he takes not because he wants, but because he's starting to enjoy from taking from someone. Little children, they just take things just because they don't want the other to have it. I want to have two. Let's say a toy, two toys, the same thing. But I have and my friend has. No, I want to have both. So I'm not taking my fellow man into consideration. I just want to have for myself as much as possible. Bigger children, I want to take from the other. Not from me to have, but that he will also have. I already begin to feel my fellow man, how to the extent that he feels bad, I feel good, the higher I am. I go to the stock exchange to make money. Everyone profited 100 and I made 200. I'm happy. And if you say everyone made 1,000,000 and you, instead of 100, you made 1,000, no, that's not good. But instead of 100, instead of 200, you'll make 1,000. Yeah, but the others made 1,000,000. We always measure ourselves compared to others. You understand that joke from two eyes, etc., and all those things. In other words, we enjoy the fact that the other has less. And how much less? I also want to determine that. He can live, but he should live in a manner that he has less. And then I have a feeling that I have more. I live from the gap between myself and my fellow man, because if there's no gap, then it's enough for me to live like an animal. I'll live in some forest, and whatever I need, a wife, kids, some little house, I don't need anything else. The minute I see that my fellow man has, then I also want. Then we begin to have this evil inclination. It's only toward our fellow man. And then it turns out that we need to transform it to the good inclination, that through me, from the beginning, always being having this urge of the evil inclination to check what my fellow man has and how I would get it out of him and enjoy him not having, then I, at the end of the day, enjoy what my fellow man is missing. Doesn't matter what I have. It's more important what he doesn't have. So I begin to feel here what he's missing. And not to, now the correction comes, not to enjoy what he's missing, but to enjoy completing what he's missing. Now I get it. The part where I check how much he's missing is called his left hand is under my head. When I when I'm checking, and His right hand is embracing me is when I fill these deficiencies. That's the perfection of my attitude. That's called love. Wow, that's amazing. Meaning love is expressed by my filling others' needs, their deficiencies, and I am the means for filling Him. And this gives me pleasure. Meaning I live in a feeling of love, even though the entire implementation of this love is in my fellow man. It's incredible because you explained in such a pretty way how we transform from evil inclination to good inclination. In any case, I have to check what he's missing. But with the evil inclination, I enjoy what he's missing. And with the good inclination, I enjoy filling what he's missing. And these two inclinations work together, the left and the right. We see that throughout this description of the songs, there's a lot of talk about beauty. The beautiful of women, my beautiful wife, your beautiful eyes, a lot of expressions of beauty, also towards nature. What does it come to express, this beauty? We also have an inclination when we're in love. We see everything as beautiful, perfect. The birds are chirping. It's all transgressions will be covered by love. I see mothers. It's incredible. She's holding the kid in her hands and showing him to me. Look how pretty he is. Mothers come to me if I'm at some event or something with women and kids. The mother comes to show her kid as if she's proud of it. It's natural. This from the outside looks very strange. I'm not enjoying it, let's say, as a person, I'm saying. But for her, it's this urge. She wants to take pictures. She's holding the baby in her hands, showing him, showing everyone. Beauty is what I love. It's what I want to bestow. It's what I want to develop. That's what's pretty in my eyes. Look at you in your eyes, at that same baby that she's holding in her hands, and she feels love in holding her in her hands. She's saying, look and enjoy, apparently. We have no enjoyment looking at the baby. The baby's a baby. But what? We're considerate of her feelings. So we say, oh, what a pretty, smart baby, but truly not. That's an example. If you love someone, he's pretty. And then we don't have standards of beauty. If we looked back 1,000, 2,000 years, backwards, forwards, or all kinds of forms, all kinds of parts of humanity, here fat is pretty. The Chinese people, they'd say big eyes are not pretty. You need skinny eyes. Slanted eyes, the term of beauty, the definition of beauty is entirely subjective. It depends on your taste, your specific personal taste. But if I love my fellow man that I want to bestow to, that I have pleasure from bestowing, to the extent that my fellow man has deficiency, to the extent that I can complete them, I love them more with my concern. And then it becomes beautiful. Then it becomes beautiful. And then everything for me, a mother that adopts a child, they really love them. They love them more than their other natural kids. Why? Because they invest more in them. They're afraid that there won't be hatreds. They want there to be love. So the urge is even greater toward them, to give them, to complete them more and more, and then they love them more. Therefore, again, there cannot be love without hatred. That's why it's written, all transgressions will be covered by love. There can't be love if there's not separation underneath. There has to be separation, conflicts, opposition, and above that, connection, embracing love. And then the beauty comes to us only as a result. If we love someone, it looks beautiful to us, like a mother with her baby. What does the Song of Songs come to teach us? That King Solomon is describing his wife as a perfect woman. He goes part by part of her body and describes the perfection. What does he want to tell us about love? That he went limb by limb and showed us how everything is perfect in her. What does he want to teach us about love and beauty? That the creation that we exist in, inanimate, vegetative, animate, human, just animals, human society, all of the general nature, this whole image, it's all beautiful and perfect. And it all depends on my attitude, my personal correction, how my attitude to it, if it's love or it's my attitude to God that is nature. It's my attitude, we're talking about the correction of man to the extent that I am corrected, that all my evil inclination, that I completed with His love, that I covered it with love. And therefore, I don't see anything wrong in creation. It's entirely like a beautiful woman. In other words, we don't have other words to describe love and the correct love as well. We have an attitude that we love someone or someone loves someone only in the manner that we use one another. It's a love that I'm prepared to give and to fill to the extent that I enjoy. When do you give presents? When you're dependent on a person to somehow protect yourself from him, or you give presents to someone that you love. You either do it through evil inclination, through fear, or from loving, because you enjoy him and you want to bring him closer to you, so you'll enjoy him even more. Here we're talking about love that's the opposite, that I give, that I'm always raising the other out of a desire to give good to him, to encourage without being envious. And then I can verify my attitude to him. For that I need the evil inclination. Does it come above hatred, distance, rejection? Am I capable of it? Then I check that it's truly love, not egoistic love. That it's bad love that comes from our evil inclination, but rather that it should come from a good inclination, love that is not dependent on anything, it's called. Not dependent on anything, meaning that it doesn't depend on myself enjoying something. Love by the fact that I'm giving. Where does such a thing come to me? From the fact that I know creation, from the fact that I understand that everything is one whole and that I must reach such perfection, completion. And then when a person develops along with his life, along with the environment, with the support of the environment, he develops such an attitude to humanity and nature, then it's called that he's in love, which is as in the Song of Songs. Why is it called the Song of Songs? Because in regular singing, I love you, I want to use you. And the Song of Songs is the opposite, that I want for the good of others. He continues describing here. Nitsa, one second. I just want to stop on this point of beauty. A lot of times in the Bible, we see that they emphasize that a specific woman is beautiful. She has a good character. She looks beautiful. The mother is Esther. But in no place in the Bible, as far as I remember, there's no details, as in the Song of Songs, where they truly scan limb by limb and describe it in such a perfect manner, because all of creation is a woman. Hang on, I just want to complete the question. You said before that it's not just King Solomon writing the Song of Songs, but rather the wise of all men. The fact that he's researching and feeling all of creation, he becomes the wisest of men. So now I'm asking myself, is it precisely the fact that King Solomon is describing his wife as perfect and he's going limb by limb? And the entire story of Song of Songs is coming to give us some very deep insight that seeing the perfect woman doesn't depend on her. It depends on that same Solomon, that he himself is coming to her from a place of love that's not dependent on anything. And then he gets a perfect wife, because that's how he sees it from the correct of his viewpoint. Yes, you said it very well. So any person can have this woman, any person, to look at all of creation like this. And it actually only depends on him himself, for sure. Like I gave the example with children. If I correct myself from evil inclination to good inclination, if I get closer to love thy neighbor as thyself, everything looks perfect, beautiful. I'm in a world that's completely perfect and good. He's also describing afterwards, she is my one. What is that one and only? There's nothing else. It's all around. Everything is one creation. Everything is one entire system, one whole system. And precisely making it all one, negative, positive, being when it's all coming together, that's where the beauty comes from. The beauty is perfection, completeness, that I see the good, the bad, as completing one another, and that they couldn't exist without one another, because there can only be good without bad. And bad also becomes as the basis for discovering good. And therefore, it brings us to a feeling of completion and joy. There is no feeling better than attaining perfection, in which precisely all the faults are perfected. First, we discover this entire woman, this creation, in the worst possible manner, in a manner that we can't handle. We're approaching this revelation that we see that there's nothing good that was created, that everything is bad, because we're looking at our evil inclination, and then we cannot discover anything good. But the fact that in the meantime, we're not allowing ourselves to see it because we feel bad that seeing it is bad. So in the meantime, we're in this lie. But truly, we need to say, before the Song of Songs came along, and it came from King Solomon, he has to discover, first of all the faults, all the transgressions, and that's what love comes over. The revelation of this good and this perfection and this great song, and that he breaks out and reveals this love and perfection in nature, it comes from, first of all, discovering himself, the bad in himself. And then he discovers that this bad doesn't allow him to see anything except bad outside, and this bad attitude to everyone. And then this recognition of evil, that everything is bad, that he sees it like this, and not that it's objective. He doesn't see the world. He sees his attitude to the world. And then run away from bad and go toward good. He begins to rise above this bad attitude toward nature and begins to buy the other attitude. And then through this connection with lots of people, the group supporting him on the way, this is what we're talking about, the integral education through which he acquires a new and better attitude, and then he reaches love. Now let's look for a moment from the woman's angle. Until now we described it from King Solomon's view, from a man's view, that he sees the woman. Now we see the woman saying, I'm madly in love. There's the spokeswoman. Who's this woman? Who's the spokeswoman, actually, that's talking about herself? When a person begins to relate to nature in this manner, like we said, he begins to feel that all of nature treats him with love. Who is it to nature? Before we were talking about how we treat our fellow man. Our fellow man, everything outside myself. There's myself in my body that I feel myself in this manner. And outside of my body, inanimate, vegetative, animate, all of you, the universe is nature. Revealed forces, hidden forces, it doesn't matter. Everything that's not me, that's why it's called the God. And God in Gematria is nature, everything including everything. If I begin to relate to nature, to all of reality, with love, then I begin to feel back, get feedback from it, an attitude, warm, warmth, loving, embracing, caressing, holding me. Surely, that's all the time. There's heat waves, good waves, that are wrapped around me and holding me. Then I'm talking here already, not from the side of the man, how I'm relating to nature, but a woman who is receiving this attitude from nature. Because at the end of the day, we're talking about a person who feels himself giving and receiving. Wait, I got mixed up. It's only about the person we're talking about. Once he's like a man and once he's like a woman. A person who gives his interaction with everything outside of him? Yes. So organize it for me. I have an attitude to nature. I change my attitude from hatred to love. I reach love thy neighbor as thyself. I begin to treat everyone with love. I bestow to them. Whoever bestows to others is called a man. Whoever receives from others in return is called a woman, meaning I, in relation to bestowal to the entire world, am called a man. And in receiving from the entire world waves of love and warmth that come back to me, I'm called a woman. And it doesn't matter if you're a man or woman, whether you're a man or a woman. Of course, of course. And we're talking about someone who's a creature that has evil inclination, corrected it, and acquired the good inclination through work and the nature and integral education. And now he feels it. And then this feeling of this giving and receiving toward all of nature, toward all of humanity, gives a person perfection, a feeling above all deficiencies, even to such an extent that he loses perception of time, place, and what is madly in love. That it grabs him and fills him to such an extent that he doesn't feel himself, but only the love that's filling him he feels, and not himself as receiving love. He rises to the feeling the feeling of the general nature. He comes out of himself, that there's no him, it doesn't exist, but only this feeling of love, this general feeling of love exists. That is his special point, adhesion, uniqueness, the zivug with God, this coming together with God, with nature. She uses an expression of sick, madly in love. When we explain it in real life, it's like a weakness, like a sickness that's like floating in love. Is this what you're describing, this lack of feeling of self? She doesn't feel herself, she just feels love. Here it's a weakness that love is controlling us. That's why it's called like that. And why is it a sickness? Why is she sick? When something comes from outside, why is it the opposite of healthy? She says, I'm sick in love. When something comes that fills me and takes over me, controls me, then it's some type of foreign control. It's a sickness. So this love that comes and fills her entirely, it's that's the expression. So it's good to be sick in love, even today, but to emphasize that it's without limitations. You're under this foreign control. Of course, according to your desire, your work, constant work that you truly did with great efforts, you reach the situation, but the result is like this. It's an expression that they use. You're under the control of love that comes from above. It's an expression that's become very everyday. People, it's trendy to say, I'm crazy about you, I'm crazy about you. Now we're starting to see some kind of development in this drama. Suddenly there's like hide and seek, distance and coming closer and yearning. She's looking for him and he's hiding from her. What's going on here? Each time we need to develop love, it can't come without a deficiency, without discovering distance. All transgressions will be covered by love, so we need to discover the transgressions. That each one has to give the other some kind of chance to open love even more. Therefore, our society, all of humanity, all of nature, and the person opposite are built in such a way that each time this evil inclination comes up in us more and more and begins to show us the faults in the relations between us. And then we can always be in this dynamic of completing love. Because if it's a constant state, it disappears. We only live from renewal. Therefore, all transgressions will be covered by love. There's crimes and crimes and crimes and more covering. She gives him hints. He gives her hints. He says, if you don't find me, he gives her hints to find him. He says, go and follow the sheep. Look for me. Track me down. What is that looking for? That's the beauty in it. Because revealing the deficiencies that I can complete. What do you mean deficiencies? Deficiencies that if someone, what is there in this flirting, in that I'm discovering to the person that I love, I'm discovering how to complete his attitude toward me. It's as if I am like we play with kids. Sometimes I show him an angry face. Why? So that he'll think, why, where from, what can I do? Should I be scared? Should I get closer? Should I love? Or something else. Through this change of situations, we give the other the ability to develop and get into more interaction with us, more connection. That's toward kids and also towards big people. What is a flirt? That's what I wanted to ask. What about our mate? that I need to discover how we can complete our relations. I discover in myself all kinds of situations that are missing the attitude of love. I lost you. Let's say we're friends. And suddenly I come to you and I'm not missing anything. I discover that, Oren, I'm missing today some shirt. Maybe you'll give me this red shirt, this pink shirt, whatever it is. I need to go to some place, and it's perfect for that. And you and your good heart, your love to me, you're happy to give it to me. You have an opportunity to give me something. You have an opportunity to receive from me. We both have an opportunity to strengthen our relation. The same thing in love. They're playing a hide and seek all the time around the bed. She goes out. He's banging on something. He comes down. Then he runs off. What's this coming to teach us all this? That with these acts, we can increase love. We can increase it to such a level where she sees him in every place. What happens at the end of the song? She sees him filling all the entire world. She's running to the hills and filling everything to such an extent. But one second, you're making a shortcut. When they're flirting, it's not things that you feel really as good. I asked that what my soul loves, and I didn't get it. I asked for bestowal. She's running around. She's looking in the streets. Imagine that you're going through things like this, and after that you reach the embrace, the connection. What kind of huge deficiency you have, and how you now fill yourself. So he's doing it on purpose, this hide and seek. Of course, people pay a lot of money to doctors to awaken in them some desire. So he's purposely hiding from her to awaken her desire? Yes, of course. You don't know how women act. It's in a woman's character to do these things. And it comes from nature. Look at animals. This dance that they have before they come together. Look what they do. It's rooted in nature to such an extent. They do it in an instinctive manner. And look what they do. Doves go around and animals. Look at the things they do. According to their place, time, movements. Fish go a few thousand kilometers to do it in this special place. To a couple. Animals in special seasons also, some in the winter, some in the spring, some in the fall, like plants as well. And not only that, not only in time and not only in place, but there's a special ritual that they have. They have to dance and this way and that way. And you really see in that some type of what's in nature. What do they have in nature? Why do they do it? It's clear that they have to meet to bring the continuation of the generation. It's simple. Now, look how it happens. It's the revelation of the deficiency. To what? We don't really see in animals why and what for. For them, it's instinctive. It's revelation of the deficiency. It means that it will be a blessing. It comes as an arrow. There's a situation where he really loves this connection. He's attracted to, he's yearning for the connection, and then he reaches connection. Before he reaches it, there's a very good expression here, a locked garden, meaning that it's closed. What does he do? He needs to open it. He sees that it's closed. It's locked. It's completely locked. Double locked. What does he do? There's something hiding. There's something preventing from him to reach the embrace. So how does he open these locks? He needs to search. Because if not, there won't be love at the height of... There has to be. I'm telling you, what is the example with the examples and everything? Without that, it won't be blessed. Out of this love, there won't be any birth. She continues and says, I'm asleep and my heart is awake. What is I'm sleeping and my heart is awake? That there's still... That's why they don't reach the embrace right away, the connection, because there still isn't the perfect efficiency. You mean she's asleep? What does it represent, sleep? That she's not awakening from herself. Her heart is awake, that's correct, but her desires and vessels, her entire body is not truly awake yet. She's asleep. So how do I awaken love? So how do you awaken love? Through the same knock on the door and from being late on the one hand and afterwards discovering that he's not next to her, so she runs after him, etc. Through that, you reach perfection. So this game, the song is not perfect, apparently. It's not completed. How does it end?
No.
What does it say there? That this lover is running in the whole world, filling the whole world. But where's their true embrace? And they're coming together. It's as if it's not there. The Song of Songs, even though it tells about everything, it just brings us the opening. The opening of what? Where we discover all of nature, that's divinity, perfection. It's prepared for our embrace, our connection, and that is what we are standing before. You mentioned a lot the word embrace in this love story. His left hand is under my head. What about kissing? Because at the beginning it says he kisses my mouth. That's what she says at the beginning. There's types of connection. What does it mean, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth? There's types of connection between people we love, and these types of connection are called embrace. That's divided to left and embrace and right embrace, the complete embrace, those two embraces together, and then kissing. There's a kiss. It's already a coupling, connection, but connection mouth to mouth. It's still not the complete coupling. And the complete coupling is in the embrace, is in the connection, the physical connection, the bodily connection. There's the spiritual connection called Rucha Berucha, spirit to spirit in kisses. And there's the connection, the bodily connection, that's already the complete. It has to be all together. Embraces, kisses, and coupling. There's an interesting approach that looks at all of Song of Songs and says it's talking about love between the people of Israel and God. So how do we look at everything, this love between his fellow man, between God? So you already answered, actually, that from the love of creatures to the love of God. What does this mean? If I arrange my attitude of love to everything around me, I reach altogether in my attitude to all of nature is God. It's the upper force. All of nature is the upper when I exist in it. And then it's called through the love of creatures to the love of God. That's how we reach it. And it's truly the Song of Songs that's talking about the implementation of love where we reach. Not just for the correction of the relations between us, but in general to all of creation. A person comes out of the small creation and feels himself as a person without limits. Truly, because I'm integrated in everyone, I bestow to everyone, I'm melting in everyone. There's another verse that I really like in the Song of Songs, and it says like this. I'll read it and I'd like you to relate to it. Because the scream of death is love. A lot of water will not be able to put out the love, and rivers will not wash it. If a person gives all his assets in love, people will make fun of him. What does this mean? All our attributes, the good and the bad, everything in nature, the good and bad forces, the opposite, plus, minus, each and everything, heat and cold, pressure, vacuum, whatever you say, all these things come to complete us. Completeness between all the forces of nature that are entirely opposite to one another. Opposite. This against this. It's always like that in nature. There's not like this without something against it. They all come to be to the final completion, the perfect completion, like the Song of Songs, the completion of the perfection, the perfection of perfections. That is actually the goal of all of creation. This is the result of our work. That's what we need to reach. This is called the Song of Songs. The song, just by itself, is love. Not egoistic love. It's still love at our level of the creatures. In mutual bestowal, love thy neighbor as thyself. The Song of Songs is that we reach love thy God to the entire creation. That a person comes out of himself and is simply everywhere. Truly like that. We're almost finished. I want us to summarize all these things that we spoke about. We spoke about love. Nitsa, two sentences to conclude. She has nothing to add. The truth is, I learned a lot from all this. It's hard to summarize it all. But first of all, there's a very clear perception what regular love is, that the love that we usually love to fill ourselves, between the love that we're speaking about here, that Shlomo's talking about in the Song of Songs, that comes from a desire to give others pleasure. And precisely from his love, a person fills himself with the greatest possible love, and then he begins to see that the whole world is perfect and complete. I live inside someone that I love, and also my feelings are there. It's as if I don't exist. And this, I'm transferring myself to my fellow man. I live in others. That's what's happening with the correction of love from corporal love to the spiritual love. And I also understand that the point, the peak is ahead of us, which is makes me very happy that this final coupling of love, it's not in the Song of Songs, it's still ahead of us. That really makes me happy. My conclusion is that if I want a perfect wife, I have to be in perfect love. And if my wife will be perfect, my kids will be perfect, all the people that I know will be the most perfect in the world. Rav Lightman, what's your conclusion? version of the Song of Songs, that only in the correction of man we reach love, love of the world, and love of the world is actually that we come together and we're in the whole world in completing everything with all his powers, in that he reaches the implementation, realization of himself. Thank you very much, Rav Leiman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. We'll sing together the Song of Songs, the Song of Love. All the best. New Life.